Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 11, the Word of God says, "In whom," and this is of course talking about Christ, "in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." We have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. Now, inheritance there is the Greek word eklerothemen. And it's an aorist passive indicative of klerol. And it means an inheritance or a portion, or also it is saying we were made a heritage. And the heritage, of course, is that which is inherited. It basically means to receive from an ancestor by legal succession or will or as a legacy. We have obtained an inheritance, but we have also been made a heritage. That means that we have an inheritance from God, and we are a heritage to God. What we're going to look at today is the fact that we have an inheritance. That means that something was purposed for us from God, from our Father. Now, sometimes people receive an inheritance from their family. Sometimes they do not. But we will, regardless of what our families may be like, receive an inheritance from God because we have been selected for this purpose. According to as He has predestinated us, God's eternal plan is to give us an inheritance. Let's look at that just for a moment, what that includes, because it is according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. God purposed, before the world began, that we should have an inheritance in and from Him. That was His goal, that was His plan, that we should have a portion in Him. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. We are those brethren. So just as Jesus has a portion in God, being God Himself, we are Jesus' body. We have a portion in God, being the expression of Christ on earth. We have an inheritance. We were predestinated for this. This is also an aorist passive. Aorist is a timeless tense. In other words, it's something that takes place with no reference to time. It continues indefinitely. That means in eternity past, in this particular case, God has both determined that we should have a portion, but also the plan was established in eternity. So we have two things, a plan and a determination. And that determination was that we would have a portion in Him. That we were selected on the basis of the fact that when we heard the gospel, we would respond. We were selected to have a part in Him, to have a place in Him. Now, the beautiful thing about the inheritance of God is we don't have to die to receive it. We receive it because Christ died. And we died in Him, in Galatians 2:20. So the inheritance that we have with God is ours at present. We were predestinated in eternity past. God had it in mind before He created anything. That was His eternal plan and His eternal will. And it was according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. According is the word kata. And what it really means here is that it emanates from. It's emanating from the purpose of Him who worketh all things according to His will. So the fact that we have a portion, the fact that we have an inheritance, emanates from His purpose. This was the purpose of the purpose. That we would have a portion in Him, an inheritance in Him. That we would have a mansion. That we would have eternal rewards. That we would have intimacy with our Savior. You think that a man and a wife can be intimate here because they can be physically intimate. Yet the intimacy that we will have with God is different but much more profound. Much closer. It's a union, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And that is far closer than any union a human can have with another human. This is why we must always have our relationship to God first and be a priority over our relationship to any other person. Why? Because our union with Him is much closer than our union with another person. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, but He also gives birth within us to a human spirit. That human spirit is a portion of the born-again believer and it's inextricable from its connection to the Holy Spirit. It's a union with God, and in that union with God, we have a portion in Him, and that portion is in all that God is, does, and possesses. Imagine this. We have a bridegroom who takes a bride. And the bridegroom would say to the bride, "What I have is not yours." Wouldn't that seem twisted? Wouldn't that seem contorted? Wouldn't that seem like very strange thinking that is not correct? Well, Jesus says to us, "All that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. All that I have done is yours. All that I am is yours. Everything about God, everything about the Savior, everything about eternity, everything about heaven is ours because it is our inheritance. By the virtue of the death of the Son, and we died in Him, we have an inheritance with the Son. His inheritance is our inheritance because we are in Him. We are inextricably connected." Some people lament perhaps the relationship that they have to their families. Maybe they lament the relationship to their parents or maybe to their children. Maybe they lament the fact that their relationship to the parents was such that there was no closeness. There was no real expression of love. Maybe there was no love at all. Maybe there was no inheritance. That is, so many parents desire to give to their children, but not in this case. And there are a number of people like that. Or maybe it's the other way around, where the children alienate themselves from the parents. And the parents lament the fact that they have an inheritance and a heritage to give to their children. But their children, albeit they would take the material, perhaps they would not accept the love that the parent has for the child. Or the parent themselves and the expression of their heart. And they maybe see God this way. Or maybe it is difficult to personalize this because of their own experiences. Understand something. Number one, God is not your experiences. God's heart is not based on your experiences. God's relationship to you has nothing to do with your experiences. Our experiences do not determine God's intimacy toward us. These experiences can block our relationship to Him, or at least hinder it. But in reality, they are not a part of it. The other thing, number two, is that our experiences are solely based on our perceptions. If I perceive God to be perhaps like someone I knew, whether a parent or a child or another authority figure perhaps, who was unkind, if I perceive God that way, then my experience with God will be based perhaps on my perception, but it will not be an experience based on reality. Because the reality of the matter is that God is immensely kind. That God is immensely patient. That God is immensely loving. That God is immensely gentle. That God is immensely considerate. That I am the apple of His eye. And this is how God sees us. We are not seen by God as distant or a problem or a burden or something to deal with. But we are the apple of His eye. We are His beloved. We are precious in His sight. If you do not see that, it will be difficult for you to accept the fact that you have an inheritance in Him. You will see your failures, you will see your insecurities, you will see your weaknesses and your frailties, and you will say, oh, these are costing me part of my inheritance in Him. But it is not possible for those things to cost me any of my inheritance with Him. Because it is an inheritance. It is based on the will of the one who gives and not on the one who receives. If someone wills something after their death to another person, it is not based on the person who receives it, what that person has willed to them. They write their name on the paper, last will and testament. And the executor sees the name on the paper and say, this one is to get this. Our name is forever written in heaven. And we have an inheritance. Based on that, we will receive what God has purposed. And He has purposed to give us all things. He has purposed to give us all that He is. He has purposed to give us all that He's done. In heaven, there will be no paupers. I understand at the Bema Seat that some may suffer loss, but those are rewards. That's different than inheritance. In heaven there will be no paupers. In heaven there will be no one who is less than the other. In heaven we receive the fullness of the inheritance. It cannot be taken away from us. Because God has purpose to give it. He gives because we are predestinated. He has done the predestinating. We receive that predestination. He has given the inheritance. We do the receiving of it. According, emanating from His purpose. What was His purpose? To express grace. To express love. To express mercy, to express forgiveness, to express kindness, to express the goodness of His character, to express His gentleness. That was His purpose. This is why He allowed us to fall. Because if we did not fall, those things could not be expressed. God could not express express the fullness of the love that is the essence of His character if we had not fallen. So don't ever think to yourself, I have shortcomings, I will not receive a full inheritance. Your shortcomings are present because of the fall. The purpose of the fall was to enable God to express the fullness of who He is. So the fact that you have shortcomings is simply another way for God to express the fullness of His compassion, the fullness of His patience, the fullness of His mercy, the fullness of the kindness of God. We have this mentality, and I think it's very difficult to get it out of our minds because the world has ingrained it in us, religion has ingrained it in us, that we have to somehow produce to be worthy. In my best estate, with my best production, I'm not worthy, and I will never be worthy because I am fallen. There's no good thing in me. I don't care how good you are, there's no good thing in you. But I don't have to have anything good in me. That's the beauty of it. That the purpose that God had for me was not my perfection, the purpose that God had for me was His expression of grace. Was His expression of loving kindness. And in that, His purpose is fulfilled. So because my inheritance is according to His purpose, my inheritance can never be diminished one iota. As a matter of fact, God delights to express Himself. God so loved the world that He gave. Who did He love? The world. The corrupt, fallen, miserable world. The unworthy, undeserving world. God so loved them that He gave His only Son. So when I live in the frailty of my humanity, all I am doing is fulfilling the very purpose of God. The way that I avoid the purpose of God is things like condemnation or unbonafide guilt, not receiving grace, not living in mercy, not accepting forgiveness. And if I get to that place, I'm thwarting the purpose of God. It's a much greater mistake for me to not receive mercy than for me to fail. Failure doesn't surprise God. He said it would happen. The just man falls and rises 7 times in a day. Failure does not surprise God. Failure is simply there so God could extend grace. Failure is simply there so God could reveal mercy. Am I propagating failure? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you one thing, every single human being on this planet will fail. It's a human condition. You don't have to propagate a human condition. Every single human. Does that give a license to sin? No, it gives a license not to. The law is the strength of sin. In 1 Corinthians 15:56. But we overcome by grace. So I have an inheritance, and that inheritance can never be taken away. Not one portion. Not one grain. None of it. Because it's given through the purpose of God. It emanates from that purpose. And it's after the counsel of His will. And He's the one who works it according to that counsel. Work it there is energontos. It's a present active participle. It means that He is continually, even now, working that counsel. And it means to put forth power and to effect. So God right now is putting forth power so that I would receive an inheritance as His will and His purpose is being manifested. And at this moment it's taking place. 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 And I can continue that way till the day that I go home to be with the Lord. And in eternity, I receive the fullness of that purpose and the fullness of my inheritance. It's according to the counsel, the intent in the original language, of His own will. That word "own" is interesting. The Greek word is autos. It's a reflexive pronoun from the word au. The idea is this. It's expressing the concept of a baffling wind. His own purpose. Expressing the idea of a baffling wind. In other words, it emanates from Him, but it returns to Him. Goes out, comes back. And again, He goes out and comes back. His purpose, His counsel, His power, His will, it goes out and it comes back. His thoughts go out and it comes back. His love goes out and it comes back. His mercy goes out and it comes back. By giving me an inheritance, He also receives one. It goes out and it comes back. Everything works that way. It goes out from Him and it comes back. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 1:3 that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the abundance of mercy, had begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How did my inheritance come about? Through the resurrection of the Savior. The inheritance is not corruptible. The inheritance is not defiled. What is your life like? Well, I do my best, but quite frankly, I fail every other 30 minutes, every hour. Every hour on the hour, I fail. It's not defiled. It's incorruptible. Well, at least 5 times a week I lose my mind. It's not defiled. It's incorruptible. I fight with somebody at least 3 times in a day. It's not defiled. It's incorruptible. I get very self-conscious every time I speak to somebody. It's not defiled. It's incorruptible. I have a besetting sin and I'm having trouble getting victory over it. It's not defiled. It's incorruptible. Your experience does not determine your inheritance. God determines your inheritance. By virtue of being born again, you have that inheritance. And it was given to you through the resurrection of the Son. In Hebrews 9:15, "For this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. How did I get that inheritance? How does anybody? Death is required for the inheritance to come about. Christ died and I died in Him. What happened when Christ died? All the things that would separate me from Him returned to Him. And now, you cannot point to a believer and say fault, sin, mistake. You cannot point to a believer and condemn. You cannot point to a believer and accuse. You cannot point to a believer and do anything but say the beloved of God. Because anything that was not of God that was in us was removed from us and it returned back to Him and it died upon His body on the cross. And it was washed away from His body by His blood and an extension from me. So there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Because everything that could have separated us from the love of God returned back to Him. And the death of the Savior is what allowed us to have our inheritance. You can't lose your inheritance because the death has already taken place. The inheritance is yours and it is yours now. Yes, it is stored up for you in heaven, but it is yours now. And some of that inheritance you can receive today. The prodigal son said to the father, "Give me that which is mine of my inheritance." And the father gave it to him. We can say the same thing to the father. "Father, give me that which is mine now of my inheritance." Except the difference between us and the prodigal is while the prodigal squandered his inheritance, ours is incorruptible and undefiled. It cannot be squandered. It cannot be diminished. You can utilize it for the next eternity and it will be undiminished. It is still fully there and fully yours. The Word of God says in Hebrews 11:8, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went." How do I experience now the inheritance that I have in heaven? By faith. By faith we go out. By faith we respond. By faith we receive. We experience it by faith. How is it that we can have boldness in trials? By faith. That is a part of our inheritance. How is it that we can have confidence in the love of God? By faith. It is a part of our inheritance. How is it that we can do things that people say are insane and you will not take care of yourself and how will you make a living and how will your kids grow up and all the things that they throw at us and we say by faith and it turns out well by faith and it does turn out well because we have an inheritance. Young people go to Bible college or people decide to live for God or people decide to go on the mission field wherever that happens to be. And people say, "How are you going to take care of yourself? What are you going to do when you are old? What are you going to do about your children?" And the answer is, by faith. Because we have an inheritance. I'm not afraid to go and take steps of faith. I don't say to myself, "How am I going to live? What am I going to eat?" My God shall supply all my needs. How will He do it? By faith. And those needs are tangible. Yes, God tangibly supplies all my needs. He knows I have to eat. He knows I need clothes. He knows I need a roof. By faith, I receive these things. And I accept them by faith. And as I accept them, I receive them. This is how so many of our missionaries do it. They go out by faith and they receive by faith. Because they have an inheritance and they receive it now. They're not afraid to take their inheritance today. So many people are afraid to trust God for the inheritance that they possess now. and you receive it by faith, and it becomes a practical reality. The Word of God says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance." Of the Lord you receive your inheritance. You don't do it by your own effort, you get it from the Lord. You don't worry about, well, this one did that, or this circumstance went bad. You receive your inheritance of the Lord. Nobody can take it from you. You receive it of the Lord. Nobody is able to block what God has determined. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what they have. You cannot block what God has determined. Natural reasoning says, well, maybe this circumstance will get in the way, and now I can't get what God has. Now God can't answer my prayer. Now God won't be a provision. Now God won't come through for me. You cannot obstruct what God has determined. It's not a possibility. You cannot obstruct what God has determined. You cannot diminish it. You cannot hinder it. You can't slow it down. Go and stand, don't do this literally, in front of a freight train. And see how well you can slow it down. No more can what God has determined be obstructed from us. We receive it by faith, and we receive it today. It's that simple. Galatians 3:18. What is our practical inheritance? How is it given to us? It's given to us by promise. When we receive the promises of God, we are receiving the inheritance. It doesn't matter what the promise relates to. When you receive the promise of God, you receive the inheritance. You have a circumstance in your life, go to your inheritance. Because in your inheritance, you have a resolution for every circumstance of your life. You need money, go to your inheritance. You need comfort, go to your inheritance. You need help, go to your inheritance. The promises of God are our inheritance. Now those promises are not only for the here and now, and they are not only for eternity. They are for the here and now and for eternity. They are reality as it exists in God's determination. They are not reality dependent on temporal, earthly things. It is as God has purposed according to His will. And He is the one who is working it in us. The promises of God are the inheritance. In Romans 8:32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" God, I need a provision. God, will You give it to me? I don't know if God's going to do this for me. Will You give it to me? How many times do we get to that place? We become anxious. Well, if God did not spare His Son, what's He going to withhold from you? He gave the hard part, why would He withhold the easy part? Of course He'll give you the provision. Of course He will meet your needs. Of course He will take care of you. That's your inheritance. Of course He will. It is not corruptible. In John 14 and verse 2, "In My Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is your inheritance. That in the Father's house there are many shacks. In the Father's house there's many doghouses. In the Father's house there's many sheds. How many people think that that is what they deserve from the Father? Well, I deserve the doghouse at best. Maybe a shed on a good day. In the Father's house there are many mansions. Consider the most glorious mansion you have ever seen, perhaps in person or on television or in a photograph. That was designed by a human. Consider the mansion that the creativity of God can design for you. It's not something that we can conceive of, because it's not from a human mind, but it's designed for you. That's what's awaiting you if you're born again. That's your inheritance. That cannot be taken from you. That's your inheritance. Joshua chapter 1 in the B part of the 5th verse. I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. That's your inheritance. I will be with you, I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. How many times do people think they have been forsaken? God says that a part of your inheritance is that He will be with you, He will not fail you, and He will not forsake you. You are in trouble. God says He will be with you, He will not fail you, and He will not forsake you. You fall on your face. God says He will be with you, He will not fail you, He will not forsake you. It was your own mistake. God says He will not fail you, He will be with you, and He will not forsake you. It doesn't matter what it is. God says He will be with you, He will not fail you, and He will not forsake you. What God had declared, what God has done, nobody can change. That's your inheritance. In 1 Chronicles 32, in the A part of the 8th verse, with Him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. What is it that comes against you? Your inheritance is this. Even if the arm of the flesh comes against you, with you is the Lord your God, and He will help you and He will fight your battles. Who is it that's coming against you? What is it that they're saying? What circumstance has gone wrong? What is it that went badly? What is it that you're up against? God says that He will be with you to help you and to fight your battles. In Isaiah 54:17, the Word of God says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Do you understand this? Well, people are railing against me behind my back. My finances are down the tubes. My kid is giving me a hard time. I don't have enough money to pay my electric bill. They want to foreclose on my house. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. I can't get a job. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. I'm insecure and I don't have faith. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. That is your inheritance. And then it continues, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you will condemn. How will you condemn it? Because before your Master you will stand. In Romans 14:4, He makes you stand. And therefore, if a tongue goes railing against you, you will condemn it by proving it wrong. That God will make you stand. No weapon formed against you can prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That no weapon formed against you can prosper. And their righteousness, it continues, is of Me, says the Lord. He says, you're not righteous, you're a sinner, you're wrong, you're evil, you're wicked. Every tongue that rails against you in judgment, you will condemn, because your righteousness is of Me, says the Lord. No weapon formed against you can prosper. In Ephesians 2:8, by grace you are saved. Saved also means delivered. It just doesn't mean your salvation. It means that, but more. It also means by grace you're delivered. By grace you're taken care of. By grace God comes through for you. By grace you'll have the provision. Young people, by grace in God's time you'll find your spouse. By grace you will find all that God has for you in His plan. By grace. And that not of yourself, and it comes through faith. It's a gift of God. What do you have? It's a gift of God. How did you receive it? By faith. The only way you can lose with God is quit. The only way you can go wrong is to start doing it yourself. By faith, you receive things. By faith, you are delivered. By faith, you are saved. By faith, the plan of God is carried out on your behalf. It's by faith. It's a gift of God. It's your inheritance. 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So not only is He faithful to forgive, and the word forgive is synonymous with the word forget in that original language. So He forgives and forgets my sins. He's faithful and just to do it. And He cleanses me from all unrighteousness. How does He do it? By the blood of Christ. By faith, you receive it. It's your inheritance. The righteousness of God, and to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, and to be forgiven, and to have it forgotten, and in Hebrews 8:12, to be removed from the mind of God, therefore from all of eternity, to have it removed as far as the east is from the west. That is your inheritance. Receive your inheritance by faith now. In John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That is your inheritance. You may shed your skin like a snake sheds it, but you will never die. You will never taste death. The moment before you die, God will remove you from your body and take you home to be with the Lord. You will never taste death. That is your inheritance. In Jeremiah 31:3, I love you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I draw you. That is your inheritance. You will never be anything but the recipient of God's love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you are not going to see the anger of God. You've not been appointed unto that. You're going to receive the love of God, the compassion of God, and all that the love of God entails. That is your inheritance. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He who's called you, who will also do it. Your call is your inheritance. You don't have to worry about how am I going to enter into my call. If you are called to it, God will produce it. Faithful is He who's called you, who will also do it. That is your inheritance. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, everyone that seeks finds, and everyone that knocks has it opened unto them. That is your inheritance. Nobody can change that. If you come to God asking for something, you will receive it. Remember, prayer delayed is not prayer denied. God may say wait to build your capacity, but that doesn't mean no. That means I need to build your capacity so that you can hold what you are asking for. That's your inheritance. So many people are afraid to pray and trust God, thinking to themselves, what if He doesn't answer? And what if it's not His will? And what if? Show me one place in the Bible where somebody came to Christ asking Him for something and He said, forget it. Can you think of one? God doesn't say forget it to His children. He might say wait, but He's not saying forget it. What does He say? Anyone who asks, believing that he has received it, will receive it. Wherever two or more are gathered in agreement in prayer, will receive what they asked for. Ask and you shall receive. Do you believe this? We receive our inheritance by faith. Answered prayer is a part of our inheritance. Are you willing to ask? Then you have everything you need to receive. Well, what if I don't have enough faith? You had enough faith to ask, didn't you? Then you have enough faith to receive. Kid says to mom, can I have a cookie? God's not like mom. Mom might say no. God might say wait till after dinner. But He didn't say no. He said wait. Or maybe He said, yeah, here's a cookie. Can I have a cookie, God? Yeah, here's a cookie. Watch everybody in this room somehow today get a cookie. It's a part of your inheritance. Answered prayer. Don't be afraid to ask Him. He inclines His ear to hear your prayers. Don't be afraid to ask Him. He wants you to. It's a part of your inheritance. It's a part of your place in Him. In verse 9, what man of you is there whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? God's not going to give you something other than your inheritance. You have an inheritance. Receive it. And don't be afraid that if you go after your inheritance, you'll get something different. All the promises of God are your inheritance. In their fullness and all that they entail. See, we think of promises of God in a very small way. When in fact, each and every one of them is huge. Because they come from a great, big God. And they are your inheritance. In Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You have been made worthy of your inheritance. Sometimes people feel they're not worthy. You have been made worthy of your inheritance. The Savior did it. You died in Him as He died on the cross. And you rose with Him as He rose again. You are worthy of your inheritance because you've been cleansed by the blood. You're worthy of your inheritance because you are the beloved of God. You are worthy of your inheritance because you are precious in His eyes. You're worthy of your inheritance because He has chosen you. You're worthy of His inheritance because of grace. Receive it. Thank Him for it. Trust it. Rest in it. Be confident in your inheritance. Because your inheritance is here and now as well as for all eternity. Amen.